I like phrases. Phrases are quite a bit of fun. You know, you hear a phrase and you remember it. It can be catchy. And tonight, hopefully this will be a catchy phrase for you to remember as we go out and seek and save the lost. So tonight's lesson is entitled, Going Fishing. Be fishers of men. We're called to be fishers of men. Oftentimes we can fish for hobbies. We can do different things along those lines and fish to selfishness. But we need to make a focus on fishing for men, because those who are lost will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can look to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Success isn't in our hands when it comes to how many people obey the gospel. Success in God's eyes is how many people we're presenting the gospel to. So if we have an opportunity to go out and to seek the lost, we need to take part of that. The response of the person is it's going to be on them. We look to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. We see another active part of the Great Commission. We see, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I love the last part of that verse. I am with you always to the end of the age. We serve a God who is most powerful, who created everything at His word, at His voice. And for Jesus Christ to say, "I will be with you always," lets us know there is success when it comes to sharing the gospel. There are different types of roles that we can take, different types of evangelism programs that we can utilize, because there are different types of people with different types of backgrounds. But we as Christians should be going out. Doesn't literally have to mean go outside, but there are so many different ways that we can share the gospel. It can be email correspondence courses. It can be door knocking and anything in between when it comes to sharing the gospel, because there is power in the Great Commission. God wouldn't charge us to do something if it was going to be a complete and utter failure. Mark chapter 13 and verse 10, "And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations." It needed to be shared with all nations so the people could know what they needed to do. Here's our part. You catch them. Get the feeling you might know what the third point is going to be, but you catch them. We've seen the need for us to go out and to be fishers of men. And it's up to us to go out. It's not enough just to go out on the lake, but we've got to put bait on the hook. We've got to put that baited hook into the water. We're never going to catch any fish if we're just sitting on a boat, sipping on a sweet tea and watching other people fish. I'm never going to catch a fish. There's not even a chance I will catch a fish if I'm even sitting in the boat. I can cheer everybody else on. Yeah, go fishermen. Y'all go catch fish. But I need to be an active participant in catching fish. We see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." We need to let the people in our community have an opportunity to hear the truth. We as Christians have that responsibility to share the most important thing that there is to share. We can be excited about the different clubs we're in, funds for great opportunities. We can have different things that we are passionate about, but none of those should go over our passion for Christ. None of those should go over our passion for seeking and saving the lost, because how can they hear if no one sends the word? We'll look to James chapter 1 and verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." Unfortunately, we look to some denominationalism and it is basically a show. You come sing to me, you come preach to me, you come pray at me, and I'm going to go home and tell you how pretty it was. And if that's how worship is, wouldn't it be easy to think, well, they'll go out and share the gospel with me. Sometimes, for me, Sometimes we think about, you know, giving our contribution, which is great. We're to give as we've been prospered. But sometimes we think just because we scribble our name on a piece of paper and it goes overseas that we are evangelizing. No, we are providing funds so that someone else can go and evangelize. I can no more evangelize for you than I can take the Lord's Supper for you. We all have a responsibility when it comes to sharing the gospel. Right here, we can talk until we're blue in the face about the need to go out, the reasons to go out, even the commandment to go out. But if we're not doers, we're just deceiving ourselves. We can tell people, I'm a Christian. Yeah. I attend services. Yeah. What do you do about it? We need to be a people who are ready to be active, to not only understand what the Bible says, but to be ready to go out and do what the Bible says. Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. We all want to be righteous before God. So wouldn't it be selfish on our part to not even put the hook in the water? To not even invite someone to services, seek a Bible study? We can't be selfish with what has saved our souls. If we want to do what's right and we want those who are around us to do what is right, we're going to have to make an effort. We're going to have to make an effort to do the best that we can. John chapter 13 and verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus made commandments, they did them, and he said, blessed are you who do them. If we look at the book of Proverbs, I've heard it said before that if you want to live a short and miserable life, read the Proverbs and do the opposite. Read the Proverbs and do the opposite of what they say. If you want to live a miserable life of a Christian, don't do what the Bible says. Because guilt's going to creep in. Guilty conscience is going to creep in. If we see things that we are supposed to do, we need to do them. And if you need help in doing them, we've got all kinds of different projects that we have going on that we would love to have you be a part of. And if none of those fit and there's something else you want to do, I'm sure we can work with you in a different avenue. But if we are blessed by doing what God has told us to do, imagine others that could be blessed by the same thing if we reach out to them. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 48. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation of the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. As Christians, we need to have that foundation strong. You don't have to know very much to become a Christian. We can tell that with the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He found out about Jesus. He was obedient to the gospel. But at that point, he needed to grow more and more and more. There are certain things that we need to know when it comes to salvation. That is our foundation. If we start building on a rocky foundation, if we start building on a foundation made of sand, that house is going to fall. But we need to be like what is spoken of here. We need to build a strong and a firm foundation. So as we continue to build in our study, we can be stronger and sturdier than we were before, being able to answer questions to people that have them. Michael was with me, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, and the electricity in the building was out, so I was like, well, let's take the girls to the park. So we took the girls to the park, struck up a conversation, had an hour-long Bible study. And then Michael and I went to, we were heading over to McDonald's, got a phone call from one of the members here, and he had a guy that wanted to ask me some questions, or I think it was he wanted to talk at me. But it didn't work. When you ask a question, you give a Bible answer. And Michael enjoyed that. I told him, all it takes is study. When someone asks a question, they don't care what your opinion is. Show them Scripture. Show them Scripture. And if they don't want to hear the truth, that's going to be on them. But we build that foundation being able to give an answer for our faith. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments." I've got three children. When I call, they need to come running. They listen to me. They should obey me because I'm their father. I love them. I want what is best for them. But I can't do that with somebody else's kids. I mean, Laura might listen to me if I called her over, but I'm not her parent. My kids will be like me because they know me. And even greater, if we're going to be like God, we should keep God's commandments. I can call myself a Christian all day, but if I'm not acting as a Christian should by what the New Testament says, if I'm not keeping His commandments, I look no more like Christ than I look of someone who's in the world. We catch Him, He'll clean them. It's our job to put that lure or put the hook in the water. It's up to us to give opportunities for the fish to bite. When they hear the word, it's going to be on them. They're going to have to decide if they want to repent, leaving a worldly lifestyle behind, and if they're going to go forward living for God. If they're obedient to the gospel, they will be cleaned. Not in the sense of like a regular fish, but they're going to be cleaned nonetheless. Look to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness." I love the thought of that. Think about who you were before you were obedient to the gospel. The sins that you committed that marred you, that blackened you in sin, separated from God. Yet when you went into the watery grave of baptism to come up with a newness of life, you were washed clean. No one else in the universe could do anything to remove one sin. But when you came up from baptism, you were ultimately cleansed by the Creator. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Jesus had to die. It was prophesied from the beginning. It happened for this reason. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sins. And people say why and say that's what God wanted. Those are the rules. That's the parameters that God made. It is up to us to abide by them. Jesus shed His blood as the perfect and final sacrifice. We no longer need to sacrifice bulls and goats. We don't have to sacrifice birds. Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice. In Hebrews 9:14, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit suffered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" We're clean. God cleaned us. At some point, someone shared the gospel with us. We had a choice to get off the hook and continue to swim in sin or to be cleansed, to be obedient to what God would have us to do. We had that choice. We could continue on in dead works or we could come with a purpose and serve the living God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." Sorry about that. We have redemption through His blood. It is the blood of Christ that washes us. It makes us clean. And it's not according to anything that we have done. It's according to His grace. And that grace is unmerited favor. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, Jesus said, "For this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus died for us. And while nothing else could wash away our sins, He knew the pain that He was going to endure was going to be for the betterment of us. so that we can be cleansed, so that we can be clean. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, we see Paul recounting his conversion. And Ananias said to him, "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name." It is our obedience to God's plan, and it is the grace of God that allows us to be clean. If we come to God, God will clean us if we come to Him on His terms. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Baptism, which now saves you. It does more than just clean the dirt from your body. It cleans the sin from your soul. Obedience to what the Bible says cleanses us. We come to God on His terms. We can be made new again. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life." I love the imagery that we find here. That our baptism goes along with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, except with us, we are dead to our sins. We deserve an eternity in hell. But when we're baptized into the water and we come back up, we walk in a newness of life, like babies, pure in the sight of God. It's up to us to continue to grow in the right direction. So the conclusion of our lesson this evening, we have to be fishers of men. There's no choice. We as Christians have to be evangelistic. Find what your niche is and fulfill that. I can't tell you how to do what you need to do. I'm different than everyone here. What can you do? What skill set do you have? What's something you can do to be a fisher of men? And nothing isn't an option. You can't say, I did this years ago, or I did this and it didn't work. I'm not going to do anything. That's not an option. We have to be fishers of men. And the success doesn't mean those who've been obedient to the gospel. Our success is our efforts in reaching out, doing the best that we can to share the soul-saving gospel. I wouldn't be much of a fisherman if I took a hook and put something I liked on it, like a gummy bear or something like that. I wouldn't be able to fish with that and go, "Why aren't the fish biting?" But then again, I really don't know much about fishing, so if they actually eat gummy bears, then that was a terrible example. But I think you got my point. We're not going to put something on the line, something on the hook that fish aren't going to want. We need to share the soul-saving gospel, not to join a club or anything along those lines, but to let someone know there is forgiveness for their sins. When we share the gospel with others, we are fulfilling the Great Commission. Then it's on them. After they have heard, if they're obedient, He'll clean them. Their sins will be washed away, thrown as far as the east is from the west, thrown behind Him, thrown to the depths of the sea. God will act as if those sins never happened. Be cleansed white as snow. We need to be fishers of men. We catch them, God will clean them. If you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to become one tonight. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or you'd like to learn more about baptism or becoming a Christian, I'd encourage you to do so as we stand and as we sing.